Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, Stephen here. What we're doing now is known in the trade as a pod drop. This is a chance to hear my recent interview with comedian Rich Wilson on his excellent podcast, Insane in the Membrane. Seek out Insane in the Membrane and enjoy it over Christmas. And Let's Talk About the Husband is back in the new year.
Insane in the Membrane.
Is this the thing, by the way?
Yes, it is.
Great.
Yeah.
I'll give proper answers to things now.
I meant to say, because there's no big introduction. We just do it.
Oh, great. Love that for us. Yeah, I do worry about my weight all the time. Only because I do think we're a very shallow society. Yeah. Who gets thousands of Instagram likes on Facebook? Men that are shirtless with six packs. Mm. That's who. Not someone that's just got a little chippy titty going on.
I know what you mean. I tell you what, though, I've been watching a guy as a personal trainer dude called James Smith.
Oh, yeah.
And he's brilliant. You should have a look at him, because he just doesn't fuck about. He's like, look, it's all about calories in, calories out. If you're going to, he goes, you can have biscuits all day long, but it's not healthy. He said, but if it's more than the calories than you burn off, you're going to be fat. So, you know, just watch your calories. That's all he says. He goes, you can do all the exercise in the world. You go to the gym every day, but it's not going to burn off the fat.
And also, I must say, now I'm in my 30s, it is a health thing as well. It used to be a vanity project, don't get me wrong. But now it is a health thing. Like, I don't know about you during the lockdown, but I just sat and got fat. I didn't do anything productive. Oh, God, I put on 2.5 stone. I just ate Kinder Bueno. Because we did that thing, be like, there's nothing to do apart from cook and bake and pop to the shop.
Yeah.
So you cook your breakfast, you're having a proper breakfast, then never eat breakfast. Then we bake a cake. Then you'd have like, we were making like burgers from scratch.
Yeah.
Then we're having a bit of the cake we've made. Then we bought dessert because we fancy a bit of dessert. We're living through a global crisis. We deserve it. But like my boyfriend, he'd exercise every day. And I was like, I'm not doing exercise on Zoom. What a loser. So I was just getting fatter and fatter and fatter. But then it does cause health issues. Yeah. Like, because something went wrong with my gallbladder. So they're whipping that out soon.
Are you kidding? Yeah.
And that was because of weight.
But I think it's, yeah, like you say, because we couldn't go anywhere. We were allowed to go out for an hour at the beginning. And then we were just piling on. And because, like you say, there was nothing to do. And the first lockdown felt like a bit of a holiday. We kind of all went, all right.
And we all come off our holidays with a bit more weight.
I went up a jean size.
Oh my
God. I was so fucking upset.
Two. It was so bad. Like, it got to a point where, because I didn't really get dressed either in the first lockdown, because I did find it novel. So I was just like always in like me baggy trackies and me baggy hoodie and stuff like that. And then when I had to put a suit on for something, I was like, oh my God, it wouldn't even come up past my thigh.
That's what I mean. I'm like, I've put weight on in my legs. Now, I always had chunky legs anyway, but that's when I knew I was, like, if you go up a shoe size, that's when you're fucked.
Yeah. And means your willy's got bigger.
I wish. It was, but that was it. Yeah, all of that. Like, because I was with Jade at the time, and that was just, we were just, and she's a great cook, so we were just cooking incredible feasts all the time. It was like Henry VIII every day. And then you're going to pay for it. And now I'm paying for it. And now
And don't you feel like we got the mentality of being like, anytime we were like, should we do this? Like, we got afternoon tea delivered, like where they lent you the crockery and everything. So you had like proper china set and everything.
Yeah.
We were like, is this a bit excessive? But every time we were like, are we spending too much money considering one of us is not working at the minute? Yeah. And all we're doing is eating. And we kept doing this to each other. We're living for a global crisis.
Yeah. This is charity work.
You've earned it.
It got to the point, I think it was the second time we got locked down, and then we were just getting stoned every day, and then pizzas would just come in every day. And again, it's just a mess. And you go, I'll deal with it later, And now I'm in the middle of dealing with it later.
It's so weird to me that no one really talks about, like, the mental impact of the pandemic. Like, we're talking about the financial and everything like that. I talk to my therapist all the time about this, being like, how are you not fully booked? Because I don't think people realise they're traumatised.
Yeah, absolutely. We've aged. I was talking to my flatmate, Sweeney, the other day, and we were both saying, like, we've seen photos of ourselves from just only 2-3 years ago. We look fucked.
Yeah.
We all look fucked because it's just, like you've just said, we've been through a life-changing experience. And people to think it's just going to just snap back to how it was. It's just never going to be the same again as it was.
And it's all the things of being like, we were lied to. Was it mishandled? We'll never know. I think it's that thing you just go like, we don't know. Apart from the fact that COVID was going around the world, we don't know what was needed to be done. Was it done well? And we've been lied to every step of the way. Or were we even being lied to? We don't know if the lockdown was the right thing to do because all the politicians kept breaking the rules. So it's like, it might have been the right thing to do. But then we were like, clearly it's not the right thing to do if they're snogging their aides.
It's just become that whole thing. The government's a joke. It's a fucking joke. If you were to write that as a TV show, you'd go, well, that'd never happen.
It is madness. My favourite was, I feel like we went into the lockdown being like, hashtag be kind, bang a pan. And we've come out of the lockdown. Well, we all ate each other and no one's banging a pan anymore.
Yeah. Well, that was it as well. The biggest insult after everything that had gone on, you saw the frontline workers really put their lives on the line and then they didn't even get a pay rise. They didn't even get a thank you.
Did they get? They put the cost of living up that they've always had in place to put up, and then they blame the Ukraine war as if they are not going through enough.
Yeah, exactly.
They get the blame for this.
Yeah, it's bullshit. And then we had the budget yesterday and nothing's changed except rich people telling us it's going to be tricky for a while when you're like, mate.
It really gets up my nose, this, with rich people telling us that. Well, first of all, they go, how can you moan when there's a war going on? And it's like, it's two independent thoughts.
Yeah.
And also is when they go about being like, you just need to budget better. And it's like, I could budget £1 billion easier than I can budget like 10 grand or whatever. And I have a big thing about this because I did a degree in French. And so as part of the course, you had to go and live in France and get to understand the culture and use the language properly, not how you're taught to use it, but use it how they use it in France.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, how can you run a country when you've not lived in the country? Like, you've just lived in your manor house. Like, if you want to be prime minister of a country one day and you're in charge of going, this is how much minimum wage is, this is how much benefits you get, etc., etc., you should have to go and live in some of the most deprived communities for a year. And it still wouldn't be a proper experience because you do have the money to go back to a year
later.
Exactly,
yeah. That fear of, that feeling of, that proper skint.
Yeah.
When you don't know, you're like, oh, I don't know where the next lot of money's going to come from.
Piling up, the credit card bills.
Yeah.
I've not been able to pay off before. Because you always get those 0% ones for 6 months. That's where people get in trouble because it's like, oh, I've just not been able to pay it off in 6 months.
Yeah, and that's it. And then it just all piles up. And what's happening as well, it's like everyone's forgotten that what we've just been through. I had a conversation with somebody the other day and I was going, look, I can't afford to pay this in full. I need to pay it over. I'm going to have to offer you. And I offered them whatever it was. And they went, oh, that's not enough because it's got to be paid off in this amount of time.
Mm.
And I was just like, but I haven't got it. I'm still paying, but I'm still struggling with what's gone on before. Yeah. This is all I can afford. And they're going, and they're talking to you like it hasn't happened, like the pandemic didn't happen. And that's on my level. Imagine what it's like to other people that just have no, they can't even offer anything.
No.
You know, this whole thing is like, it's like everyone's kind of, it feels like everyone's like, everyone's making up for the shit that's just gone on. So any money they've lost, they're now like, oh no, a pint of lager has to be £8 a pint or whatever it is, you know, and it's because, and you're like, no, it doesn't. You're just trying to make up for money you've lost before. That
well,
money's
I was talking
gone.
To my boyfriend about this today, and I was like, I don't know if it's this simple, but it seems this simple as going, right. So we went to a supermarket the other day, and like a pot of Nescafe, but like the posh coffee powder, whatever, was like £7. And I was like, are you joking? Yeah. £7. Like, it's ridiculous. So anyways, but putting it all up. So if you put up stuff like your chicken breasts are now instead of £3, they're £6, et cetera, et cetera. Obviously, you're just trying to make more money to balance it out for you.
Yeah.
However, isn't it a bad economy, really? Because people are going to go, I can't afford that. So we're going to live off, like, making, like, lentils and chili and all that. So they're just going to buy cheaper stuff and you're not going to sell this stuff for £6 and it's going to go out of date. Isn't it bad business? I mean, there must be a thing about it, but I was like, I can't figure it out. It mustn't be that simple, but I was like, I don't understand it.
But it is. It's that what I found this with, in our industry, in comedy, with promoters, they'll go, oh, I'm going to charge £18 a ticket for this. And you go, but that's a bit much. If you charge, or £25 or whatever it is, you're like, if you charge a tenner, you're going to get more people, so you're going to make more money. But if you charge £18, £25, you can get fewer people. So it's the same as that.
I literally had this conversation the other day when I was planning like my tour the other day. And it's like, and also it's like, you have to remember, A, who you are, B, where you're from, C, what you could afford to pay,
yeah.
D, who's your audience. And it's like, I am not charging people £18 a ticket for dick jokes. Because if you come as a couple, that is £36. Yeah. Before you travel, before you're parking, before you've had a drink at the bar.
Yeah.
And I really don't agree with it. And then you look at things going like, you know, I think Catherine's tickets are only like £18, £20, something like that. I might be wrong. Mm. But I think they're not that dear. So then it's like, why am I charging £16 when you get Catherine Ryan for that? I think like you say, why don't we do a tenner, a ticket, sell out 500 seats, and you're going to make more because more people might be able to afford that. Some people can't even afford a tenner for dick jokes. Like, they've got other things they need to worry about. They've got kids. But say you get a tenner for 500, that is so much better than only being able to sell 100 tickets at £18.
Yeah.
And you have a better show. Everyone feels happier. £20 for two people for a night out, then some drinks. You still feel like, oh, I can do this whole night out under £50. Seems more reasonable.
Absolutely. I mean, that's it. Now you go out and you're spending £100. It just, like, I bought a large glass of wine the other week and it was a tenner. And you're like, well, I might as well buy the bottle then. And then the bottle's £30. And you're like, what the fuck?
I was like, I went somewhere the other day and I went, oh, can I get a bottle of your house rosé? And normally with stuff like that, you're safe. Even in London, of it being like, the dearest for house rosé, £21. He was like £40. I went, don't take the cork off. Do not decock, because I'm not for house rosé. You're talking to the wrong boy. And I thought it was ridiculous. And then I went somewhere else and I had a double vodka diet coke. Normally about £5-6. It's a double. £14. Yeah, I could have had a Cosmo. Yeah.
I was talking to someone recently and they ordered, I can't remember what it was, Prosecco or a bottle of champagne or something. And I can't remember, but they didn't have it. And they went next door to the supermarket and bought it, came back. And in front of you're like, I could have done that.
Yeah. What is your like relationship with money? Because I'm always like, am I tight? Am I just scared of being in debt because I cannot go in? I will not go into debt. I did it when I was like maybe like 23 when I first moved to London. Took me ages to get out of it. Mm. It wasn't even a lot of debt. And I was like, it's not worth it.
No.
And then, I don't know what I am. I'm always like, am I tight? Am I careful? I don't know what I am, but I'm very good with money.
Well, that's good. I'm terrible with money. Terrible with money. And I know what you mean, though. Once you get out of debt, because I was out of debt for a bit, and you go, yeah. Oh, that's, and you sort of, and you sort of, you are careful. But yeah, I mean, it's a bit shit at the minute, but I'll get there. I'll get out. But I am shit with money. When I get money, I'm like, yeah, woo. And then I'll forget.
I'm so militant. As soon as I get money, I'm like, put your 20% tax away. Put 20% away for a rainy day. Yeah. Like, I'm a friggin'
loser. No, that's how you should be. Because yeah. Then you're not in a position where I am, when I'm like, oh, fuck, I've got no money again. And then I have to wait for the next chunk to come in.
It's the worst.
Oh,
it is the worst. I've always like, you know, when people don't have to think about it because it's like their parents. Like, I remember when I moved to London.
Yeah.
And I'd started comedy and I was working a full-time job, but I always got a proper job because I was like, I didn't know if comedy would become a job or it was just a hobby. It was never my dream to be a comedian.
No.
And so I always got a proper job in case I was looking for a career, really. So I would be working like 12-hour days, then running to gigs. And then I was living in London, so the rent's dearer than what I was used to in Manchester. It was almost double. And I remember, like, people be like, oh, this person's such a hard worker, this person's such a hard worker. And I'm going, they temp 2 days a week, if that. And then you start to find out people, parents pay their rent until they get on their feet. And I was like, oh, my God, you guys don't know what hard work is. Because no. I'm doing 12-hour days, then spending all my money on my goddamn hobby.
But that's it as well with what we do. There's people I know that, yeah, they've like someone I know there, and good luck to them. They've just, their mum and dad have just bought them a flat, and you know, they're able to, all their money that they get goes into their running around doing their comedy, and it's, you're like, yeah, good on you. But for everyone else, it's like it's £100 to go anywhere on a train. Yeah. Petrol's gone up. I've done other jobs, and so I appreciate how privileged I am to be able to make money from what I'm doing. But it's fucking hard. And then what's happening is we're all arguing with each other now online. Everyone's up against each other, and we're fighting over things that we shouldn't really be fighting over. We're fighting over people's sexuality. We're fighting over their gender. We're fighting over their... And you're like, this is what's happening. They want us to be fighting each other.
Yeah, I think about this all the time. It's like when people are like having debates about trans rights and gay rights. I'm like, why does it matter to you when you're not even part of the community?
Yeah.
Why does it matter if we have some rights or...
Yeah.
I was talking to someone the other day, a producer, being like... And he was like, oh, you're great. We need to get you on this show and da-da-da-da. And I was like, you know, it's literally your decision. Yeah. I'm not sat here saying no. And he was going, and they were talking, he was like, but you'd be so great. And it was literally after they were watching me like smash something. It was like their eyes opened to something that had never been considered before. And I was like, the problem is, and I understand it because I would do the same thing. Who'd you turn to first when you're booking things? You turn to your mates first because you want to be surrounded by people you enjoy their company of, but then that means you are only, like, if I did a show, it'd probably be very girl and gay heavy. Because that's who I'm around. So I was like, I get it, but that's what the problem is when we do that show, because by the time they book their mates, which is like straight dudes, and then they're being you know, they've booked some women, some books of people of color, people have kind of forgot about the gay man in that situation. Which is fine, but I was just always going like, but this is why you have to, that's the thing, is going, you always have to flag people and just go, just so you know, you, this is a great lineup, like very diverse, very representative of the country, it's fantastic, and all the people on it are brilliant, but every male is heterosexual.
Yeah. But this is the thing, when you talk about the fact that we're having to argue about gay rights and trans rights, it should just be a given that people have rights.
Yeah.
But we're having these stupid arguments, and it all comes from ignorance. I don't understand, because everybody having rights doesn't take away from your rights, doesn't even affect your life.
No. And I think it's like how you have to deal with things. Like, as a comedian, I don't know what happened to me during the pandemic, but I think I was with Rob Rouse over the weekend,
oh,
and
nice.
We were talking, and he was like, you're a bit hard-faced, you aren't you? And I was like, I think I am a bit hard-faced. Because I was saying, so I was at a club, like, it was like September time, and there was a lesbian comedian on, and someone shouted out a slur against lesbians, just a word. I don't want to say it because I don't want to promote it. But no one did anything, right? And I had to walk up to the bouncer and just go, if that person stays in, I'm not going on stage. So you're going to have an empty... When my name's called, there's going to be a long pause because I was like... And he was like, oh, you know, it's banter. You've got to have a laugh with it. And I was like, it's your job. It's your job. And I was like, no. It's not my job to deal with hate.
No.
And that's what these words are. And it's not my job to educate either. Be like, go up there and do. It's my job to go up there and be funny for the next 20 minutes. So I'll have banter. If someone's like, you're shit, I'll play with them. If someone's like, your mum, I'll play with them. Mm. But I'm not going up when someone's just been homophobic.
Yeah.
Like, that's not my job. And also, because what I realised was going, these people, when they do it, and then we, as the LGBTQ comedian, turn it into a laugh.
Mm.
And then they think they've got the laugh.
Yeah.
And aren't they all helpful? So I was like, so we have to stop playing into that narrative and being like, so now I stand there. I did a gig in Yorkshire and this man said to me, so I said, oh, what do you think I did as a job before I got into this? And this man shouted out the F word.
Wow.
For a gay slur.
Yeah.
Oh, and I was just like, And the whole room went quiet and, like, got tense. And in my head, I'm going, I don't know why you lot are tense. I'm the one experiencing the hate.
Yeah.
Like, you lot are just little wimps sat around it. And I just stood there and I didn't say anything. And everyone's looking at me. And I was like, oh, sorry, I'm not carrying on until the bouncer kicks out the hate person. I'm not paid enough to deal with this.
Wow.
And I literally just stood there till he went.
Yeah.
And then it was like... And then got the gig back, smashed the gig. It was all very pleasant. But then it's like, but then you have to get like walk to your car in case they're like hanging out outside. And it's all that stuff where it's a bit like, oh, it's so boring.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But it isn't, like you say, I had a conversation a couple of weeks ago with a mate of mine. And we were talking about language and how she'd heard someone somewhere they'd said something that was ableist. And so she'd kind of quietly sort of messaged him and gone, look, you know, that phrase is ableist and I don't think you should use it, but just, you know, and wasn't a dick about it. But we were having this big chat about language and it's right. And some people still don't understand how that, like the slurs you've mentioned, they don't get it. They just see it as banter. Like you say, it's like,
I think because so long we did have it as banter, but what I think is really great now is people are going, no, this isn't banter anymore. Like,
no,
it's not. And I think about this all the time, is I'm actually very easy breezy. Like if it comes to my door, I'll deal with it. But I'm not one of those people that are like walking around telling everyone what to say and to like whatever. Like, but because I don't have time and it's really exhausting. But what I do think is just being like, there's this like narrative where it's like, oh, you can't say anything anymore, or yeah, I said it. Like people think they could, yeah, I said it. And it's like, do you know what though? It's just where rather than, because they're saying to us, oh, you're always whinging, you're always doing this, you're always doing that. It is easier if you just don't say it.
Yeah.
That's actually the easiest thing here. If someone says, that's offensive now. And I get that language is turned all the time. And I get, because, you know, like when there was that all kicking off during lockdown, when it was like, Friends is homophobic. Friends is homophobic. I don't think Friends is homophobic. I think 1995 was homophobic. And therefore, some of the jokes are a reaction to that. But the cast of Friends, the writers, in my opinion, were not being homophobic. It was the thing is, at that time in the 90s, gay was always a punchline. And so it's like, so we can't delete Friends because like that's what the 90s allowed. But now when you write a show, just don't let gay be a punchline.
No.
Let the characters have depth and nuance like you let everyone else. That's what I always think. But also if someone's telling you like, because I'm always learning as well. It's not like,
yeah, sure.
You know, it's not like even us that try and do the right thing are always getting it right. Like it's because language is constantly changing. But yeah. I think if someone tells you, then
yeah,
I think you should check your privilege and not be like, well, that's what I say, or you can't say anything, or
yeah,
woke or whatever. Well, all these things that people throw out there, woke this, woke that. I mean, I always see on TV shows, they're always having debate about trans rights, and it's always cisgendered people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you want to bring a trans person to have a discussion? I mean, they might not want to, but do you want to try and make that happen? Oh, just don't have the discussion. It's not your debate to have.
Well, I see people talking about diversity. Oh, we're having a conference to discuss diversity. And you go, that is the whitest looking room I've ever seen since the fucking Klan rally.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? The diversity needs to change behind the scenes. It's not, it's all very well up front going, oh, look at all these acts that we've got on here. They're so diverse. You're like, yeah, but the writer's room, the behind the scenes, the people running the place, it's still white, but cisgendered people calling the shots. There you go. It's not going to change until that changes.
It is interesting because I always think all the time is going like still, which makes me laugh, is going, because I'm camp, and because I'm northern and working class, there are two things I face. So camp means I'm obviously don't have any serious thoughts and I don't have any take on politics. I'm just light and fluffy all the time. And I just skip through the streets, living my best life. The pandemic didn't hit me at all because life's all rainbows and butterflies. So there's that thing where it's like Stephen possibly can't do anything serious. But then the other side is being northern and working class. Of course, that means I'm thick as fuck.
Yeah.
And therefore, when I'm not on stage, I am down the mines. And therefore, I have no idea what's going on in politics or the world. And it's like you're always fighting these stereotypes that are still, you know, I'm sure you have it as a working class man. And
yeah. Yeah.
We're in a youth-obsessed society.
Yeah, I've got. Do you know what? At the minute, that's what's happening. It's kind of like, oh well, we've already had. We don't need the older men at the minute. It's done now. And you're like, well, what am I going to do? What do I do? I can't help who I am. I'm a straight older dude.
What I think about you is good. This is where you are different. Is you're a straight older dude. Your words. You're a straight older dude, but who understands how the world is changing. Like, you're one of the good guys that is like, no, I understand about representation.
Yeah.
I understand about gender and labels and pronouns and all that stuff. So it's like, why not give you that voice rather than like some of the bad guys that are like refusing to keep up?
Yeah. The thing about, I have this discussion with people about pronouns all the time. And I'm like, well, just, why can't you just accept it? What is the problem? Why? What does it matter? You know, I've been at gigs and I've had to say, like, I'm sorry, and it's clunky when you do it, but you have to do it. You just go, look, I'm really sorry, but what are your pronouns? Just so I don't fuck it up when I introduce you in case I say something else. But there's so many people that refuse to just acknowledge that and acknowledge that the world is changing around them
They're told, they just don't do it. Like, I was saying,
yeah.
Whatever you believe or whatever your thoughts are, if someone's asking you, like people say to me, is it Stephen or is it Steve? Do you prefer Stephen or Steve? And I go, I prefer Stephen. And they call me Stephen, right? One of my brother-in-laws, my only brother-in-law, one of his mates, is called Lee, but everyone calls him Ginge.
Right.
That's his nickname. I'm Ginge. This is Ginge. So therefore, why we can't do it with anything else? Emmerdale Farm is now called Emmerdale.
Yeah.
Like, we can do things. Snickers used to be called Marathon.
Yeah.
So we are purposely, if someone's saying, I would prefer the pronouns they, them, we are purposely doing it because, you know, you're rich. I don't call you Richard. You have to be called Rich.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like...
Yeah.
It's like... So people choose not to do it and they make it like this big facade, like, oh, bloody hell. Oh, da, da, da. And it's like, no, it literally is like, your name's Stuart, but please call me Stu. Or I don't like my first name, so I just get everyone to call me by my surname. Yeah. I'm Smithy. Like, we do it every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
We literally do it every day.
It's not an issue, is it? It's not an issue. But you talk about, you know, you said about being, you're seen as being camp.
Yeah.
Did you find that difficult growing up? Because didn't you grow up in Manchester?
Yeah.
Yeah. How was that growing up? Because I don't imagine you, did you feel like you had to hide who you were, or was it pretty cool when you were growing up?
No, I talk about this all the time, which really annoys me when there's like this class divide. Because I would say where I'm from, they might not have the on paper book smarts, but they've got the most emotional intelligence I've ever had. I didn't know homophobia was a thing until I was about 23 when I moved to London.
Oh, really?
I'd never experienced it.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, I knew it was like, obviously I knew about like Section 28 and, you know, everything that happened during the AIDS crisis where it turned into this joke about gay men, etc. So I knew about the history of it, but I honestly thought because of how I grew up and everyone just accepted it for me for being me. And this isn't just my family either. This is like everyone on the estate. Like no one ever made me feel bad. It wasn't until I was like 23 and I'd moved to London and you're walking through the street holding a hand. Like that was my first experience, was like when someone tutted at me and my boyfriend for holding hands on the tube.
Ooh,
like
wow.
When you've honestly got straight people like grinding against those bars, fingering each other, they really do. And no one bats an eyelid, but us holding hands is absolutely disgusting to see. And that was like the first, I was like, oh, is this thing? And I never felt more naive in my life. I always thought I was quite worldly because I'd done a year abroad in France, never had any issues there. So no, as a kid, I didn't really, obviously people used, because it was like the 90s, so people said like, that's well gay, as in that's bad. But even that, it didn't really affect me because I didn't really take it personally. And it was kind of how the language was used at the time.
It's the intent, yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, all right. But no, I never had any issues in that way. Even I did a podcast which is about coming out stories.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is going to be the shortest, because I didn't really have a coming out story. I just took a boyfriend home and I was like, Mum, Dad, this is whoever, this is, you know. And they were like, oh, and I was like, yeah, this is my boyfriend. Da, da, da. Like, there was no coming out. It was just like, will you sit with him while I go and get changed because we're going to go to the cinema? It was just like...
Yeah.
So there was no... Yeah, I was never made to feel bad. And it always makes me laugh in our industry, in the comedy and TV industry, with the fact of going, like, you can only have one gay at a time. Do you know, like, even on a line, never mind on TV, but on a lineup, on a live lineup, because it's like, obviously you all bring the same thing. But all my male cousins are gay and we couldn't be more different if you tried.
Yeah, right, really.
So to me, it's just all these things where I feel like because of how I grew up, I think sometimes that's why it affects me more now, because I was like, this didn't happen for the first 20 odd years of my life.
Yeah. You didn't have it. You didn't. There was no pressure. You were just...
No, people just accepted me for me. And I actually recorded my Radio 4 special the other day. And I tell some of these stories. And it turned out there was a girl from school in and she was sat in the second row. And I've not seen her since school. So at first, when you're looking at someone, you go... really recognize her, but we meet so many people. I was like, it's probably just from a gig or something. Like, so I didn't really engage with it. And then when I was talking about something that happened in school, she was like, that's true. And I was like, oh, and I talked about like when I had a, cause I did try and have a girlfriend when I was like 13, but it only lasted a week because I knew it wasn't really for me. but she was like, and this girl was like, that's true. And I went, we went to school together, didn't we? So now the I'm saying to the BBC, we need to pay this girl because she's half the show. She's me fact checker. And so it was really nice to go, oh, it's not that I've got these rose tinted glasses on. This girl that I've not seen since then had literally just come to the recording.
Yeah.
And was really there. And I think she's going to be in the show. We got her to sign a release form.
Oh, amazing.
But it was just nice to have that validation. And I think the only thing... Because also, I think the thing people forget about the 90s is even though it had been legalised by that point to be gay, actually the rule was you can't talk about it. You can't have PDAs. Like, you can't... So you would see gay men... Like, you'd see it on TV. Obviously, they had big coming out stories. But it was like... So no one ever spoke about it. So I didn't really understand it. And also, I wasn't, like, a very sexual kid. So never mind... Like, when everyone else is getting their first girlfriend or whatever, I genuinely was just like... I think I was really behind. Like, I was really obsessed with the Power Rangers, and I was really obsessed with, like, S Club 7 and the Spice Girls, obviously. And I'm not sure if that was me being like, well, apparently you're supposed to fancy girls, but I just don't fancy any of these people. But then no one was sitting me down and being like, do you think you might be gay? Because it was just not a thing that was done. No. And so I think that was me exploring my sexuality, but I didn't really know I was doing that. I just really liked the Spice Girls, and I really liked Steps, and I really liked... I had posters of Ricky Martin on my wall, and no one ever, like... My mum and dad were never like, why is he on your wall shirtless? They just accepted it, but at the same time, they never sat down and went, so I think the reason you're doing this is maybe you're a boy who's... Like, they never had that conversation.
No.
I just think it wasn't a thing then. Yeah, but they let me be me, which was really important.
Exactly that. They let you be you. They kind of probably knew.
Yeah.
And just went, well, he'll find out for himself, you know.
Well, I think they were doing that thing because also it was the 90s, and it was like... It was still quite new to be open about being gay. Like, you know, because it was 67 that it was partially decriminalized. And then, like, 80s was like the AIDS crisis. Then you had all the stuff with Section 28. And so I think it was just like they didn't know you could talk about it either. And I think they probably had in their head, oh, he'll come to us when he's ready.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that kind of thing. But they definitely knew. Honest to God, I found some old pictures. No one's
no one's surprised. No. But I'll tell you what, but there was always... I remember people talking about Brett Anderson from Suede and people like that. And they'd always use the word androgynous. And that and so that was a selling point. They go, oh, he's androgynous. He's part... He's everything. He's so, you know... They didn't... it was, I suppose, fluid would have been... word maybe that's where that but yeah, it was always like you don't realize how we were still in the early stages of being more open about people's sexuality. It wasn't...
I do think that's the other thing as well, is like you have to give people to learn. Like, I won't put up with people like shouting hate at me, but if my dad used a wrong pronoun on a friend, I would just tell him. I wouldn't like lose my shit. I'd be like, don't forget it's they. Like, I wouldn't lose my shit, because I think the other side of it is, for all the people that refuse to learn, there's like a weird thing at the minute where people don't think it's their job to educate, and it's like, and people should just know, and it's like, I don't understand how that's going
to
happen.
No, if you don't know to ask, you're not going to ask.
Yeah, so I think there's a night, so I'm never quick to jump down people's throat. I'll just be like... Like, if someone go, oh, how was he? I'll go, oh, they're fine. Yeah, and then they go, oh, yeah.
But there is also an element of some people using it to get attention as well. And you kind of, I feel sometimes there's a few people that you go, you're just getting in the way of it all now because you want some attention, and it's, you're using it for the wrong thing. And I don't know if that's, I think that clout, that muddies the waters a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Like, some people go, oh, I found a thing. And you're like, you know, you don't need a thing. If it's not really who you are, then just chill out and just... Do you know what I mean? Oh,
the door went, sorry.
That's all
right. Can I just answer it so
quick? Yeah, go.
Sorry, I don't know what it is, you see.
Could be a delivery.
I need some interlude music lined up for this.
Hi. Oh, thank you.
No
worries. Thank you for that. Oh, I've got a present.
That's fun.
What is it?
What is it? Because we're going to do an opening. I've got to do a box opening video.
Yeah. We had Sophie Willan did a box opening, didn't she, on the podcast? And it was a flip chart.
Oh, yeah.
I love Sophie Willan. Everything she's achieved is insane.
Yeah, she's spectacular. We love Sophie.
What is it?
I mean, it looks like a pack of cocaine, but I'd just like to say, for the benefit of the tape, I've never done that in my life.
Have you not?
No.
Have you done anything ever?
Never.
Fucking hell. Well done. Oh, it's exciting. What is it?
It's my prize from House of Games.
Yay! Don't spoil it, because this goes out. This will go out and people won't...
It's already aired. It's airing as we're recording, so by the time this goes out,
out tonight, so...
Still know. I've already... I won it on Monday.
All right.
They'll know. It's my binoculars.
Congratulations, Stephen.
Thank you so
that's
much.
That's the thing as well. You're not a Steve. You're a Stephen. I've always known.
Yeah, that's what I always say. Some people pull off Steve so well. I'm just not one of those people.
You're just not a Stephen. Yeah, Steve, no. Sorry. You're a Stephen with a PH.
Yeah. I always think Steve... I do... I know I shouldn't say this, Gamer. I always think Steve is a bit straight.
Well, it is, yeah. When I was growing up, so all the main characters in films were called Steve or Jack or something quite, you know, robust. You know, they were always like, as you know, Steve and all that sort of thing. So, yeah, definitely.
When I used to do Taekwondo, they used to call me Stevie, and I really liked that. And when I started comedy, I was like, oh, maybe I'll be Stevie Bailey. But then I was like, well, I prefer Steve.
Maybe that was a... Because Taekwondo, quite, you know, it's a vigorous sport. Maybe that was a way of, I don't know, softening it up a bit, making you a bit more playful.
I think just because I was camp, and I was always in the adults class, so I was like the youngest in the adults class. So I was like 14, 15 when I started.
Yeah.
And but I was with like people that were like anywhere between 19 and maybe 35. Mm. But I was too old to be in the kids class. So I think it was that thing of them being like looking after me and having like that mum thing. Because even like that, it's like, I always joke about this, being like, they knew as well. Like we talk about it all the time now. These adults knew because they're like 19, 20. They had gay friends. But just no one was telling me.
They maybe didn't think they had to. You were quite, sounds like you were quite open with it all. So they just felt he's doing his thing.
I was always me because, yeah, but... I just never knew. I didn't really know about sex and stuff.
No.
I remember always being like in PE, fancying all the boys, being like, oh my God, look at Daniel's six pack. This is great.
But it's funny, isn't it? What is it that makes us attracted to certain bits of the body? Be it gay, be it straight, be it trans, whatever it
is. I do wonder why it is, you know, like being... because, do you know, like, my celebrity crush is Zac Efron. My favourite bit about Zac Efron is his armpit hair. I have no idea why, but when he's been in films and he's, like, puts his arm up or whatever, I'm always like, oh, my God, look at him.
Is it the fact that he's got some? Because he's pretty ripped, isn't he? And then he's got that going on.
I have no idea.
Because I tell you what, maybe it's a thing, I don't know, maybe subconsciously your animal brain associates it with strength and maybe protectiveness. Like he could protect you because he's ripped, so he looks strong. Like have you seen the Baywatch movie with The Rock and everyone? It's ridiculous. I liked it, but it's ridiculous.
I can't. It's the one where I've not been. I watch everything Zach does, but even that, I was like, no, let's not lose the attraction.
Give it a watch, honestly, because he's fantastic in it.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. And there's a bit where he's hanging off these bars, and he's doing his thing. And I just went, that guy is... What a spectacular human being. And he can sing, and he's really funny in that
and
film.
And dance.
And he can dance, and he looks like that. And to have that body, going back to what I said about James Smith, like James Smith said, to have all that on show, like the six-pack and everything else, that is your life will be fucking miserable to get to achieve that. It's really hard to achieve. And for him to do that, his life must be just... He must be so regimented.
And you must dedicate... Do you know, it's really interesting about that as well, because I was reading something the other day about, you know, like the people that do like the Marvel films, like your Jake Gyllenhaal and stuff like that, and people that have like lost weight, gained weight, whatever, for the roles, and you go, it is a lot of dedication.
Yeah.
I read something about like George Clooney, I can't remember what the role was, but he had to put weight on for something, and even he was saying... then afterwards you have to be so regimented for months. Because he was like, it's so easy to put weight on and it's so nice. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. But it's so fun to put weight on. But then he's like, but losing weight is so much harder than putting it on.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
And you go, well, if George Clooney's saying it, I'm there.
You could just sit there. Like, I can't remember who said it, but to put weight on, I think it was Bill Burr. You could just sit there watching films, shoving snacks into your face. That's putting on weight. And it goes on in a couple of weeks, you put on a stone. Like we did in the lockdowns, like you said.
Yeah.
We piled it on, you know, couple of stone. And now it's going to take 2 years to get rid of that.
And you have to be really conscious about it. Like, if you want to lose the weight, is be like, it's about calories and it's less fun. It really is.
It is
like,
less fun. It is. You want to go, you know, I've cut down on my drinking, but when I go out, it'd be a couple of pints and whatever else, and then food on the way home and that. And you're like, you've done 2 days worth of calories, maybe three in one evening.
In one evening. It is mad. Because I always do the 5-2 diet. That's how I do it.
Yeah.
Which is 2 days of 500 calories. And it is, do you know what's really annoying though is you do have more energy and
really?
You do, yep, you feel so much better. But I think it's, I'm not very healthy eater. Like, I prefer burger and chips.
Yeah.
I'd never order a salad, you know. And so I think that's my issue, I think, as well. And that's why it's good for me to do the fasting days because you go, right, well, 2 days a week, you are having salad, you are having veg and fruit and a lot more water, black tea, etc. And then the rest of the days, you don't have to work. Because my thing is, I'd love to know how you feel about this. With all the travel that comes with work as a comedian, there is sometimes when there's like road closures and it's late at night and it's raining, the only thing that's going to make me happy is finding a Taco Bell.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Or whatever your takeaway choice is.
Yeah.
Just being like, do you know what? If I have this, I can get through that drive home. There's a weird thing with food, me, where it's like when I'm sad, I feel like I need spurring on.
Yeah.
Get a takeaway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When I'm happy and I want a reward, get me some profiteroles. I need to be placid to have salad.
Yeah, I need to. I remember I was doing, so before all the lockdowns and that, doing a lot of driving, and I'd always have a bag of sweets in the car and then a bag of sweets on the way home to stay awake, just sucking on a sweet. And then I had a personal trainer for a bit, Laura.
Oh, yeah.
And then she said, she goes, do you know one of those sweets is 36 calories? And I'm like, she says, how many bags do you have? And I'm like, a bag on the way up and a bag home. You're like, yeah.
But it's the only thing that gets you through. Sometimes, though, when you do know the calories, it has put me off things before. Like, it has made me. And I'll tell you another trick I do, should you want to be a bit healthier, is when I'm eating out at a restaurant, I pick what I'm having beforehand, and then I do not get distracted by anyone else because then it's in my head. So if everyone else starts ordering like burger chips and a side of garlic bread and this and that, I'm like, nope, I know what I've committed to.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's mad, isn't it? Just the whole world is mad when you think about what you think going, we've lived through a global crisis and now. And it is because of health. It used to be vanity. Quite frankly, I'd happily just not diet. But when someone says you've got to have your gallbladder out, you go,
shit, yeah.
Okay, well, I don't want to have anything else out. So,
thinking of weight you'll lose when you have that out.
Well, my mum had her gallbladder out years ago. And they said, they go, oh, loads of people lose weight. Not my mum.
Oh, so I was really? Like,
if I've got your goddamn genes, if I have got your genes. But so you've got global crises, then we've got this weight gain, which isn't good for your mental health. Then you have to go to therapy to sort out your mental health. Because I don't know about you, I am my anxiety is through the roof you have to get a train. Every time you have to be with people after having all this time with no people. Like every time someone coughs, as dramatic as it is, I am that person that's like, oh God, not again.
Yeah.
Like, and then we're back to work. I feel overexhausted because for 2 years I didn't move. So now whenever I have to do anything, it feels like a chore. Then you've got the stuff about all the gayness and going, well, this is how I want to handle it these days. Like, if you're homophobic, I'm not going to deal with that. Then you've got people asking you for your opinion. Because also, do you know, like, different comedians are different and not everyone's very nice. Then when one of those comedians have said something and then everyone's obviously debating it, people bring it to your doorstep, be like, what do you think? And I go, I've not seen it, so I'm not engaging with it. Like, you go, our brains are fucking full.
Yeah. It's life's really hard at the minute.
Yeah.
And also
the
with that,
bills, like you say, as well.
Everything's piling up. It's like people always think that black people are wanting to talk about race all the time. And they're like, no, they don't. They don't want to. Why should they? Why would they? Why are you bringing it? I use other comedians specifically always getting asked their opinion, and it's like, I don't know. I'm just trying to get through my everyday. Why have I got to be the one that talks about this all the time? It's the same with you about, like you say, the gayness. Like, it's always brought to you. It's like, well, maybe I don't want to talk about it today. Maybe it's up to you to figure this out.
And also, then it is flipped on you as well. So then, if someone asks you about it, then you answer the question. Because I'm not going to sit there and go, no, it's fine for gay people. I've got to go, no, it's still illegal to be gay in 69 countries. Some of those are places you probably would never go. But some of them, all your mates holiday there every year. Like, you know, people go to Jamaica and places where it is still illegal or frowned upon or not safe. There's punishments there, et cetera, et cetera. And... like Dubai, I've been offered gigs in Dubai. You go, are you kidding?
They're still chucking people who are gay off of buildings, and you want me to go.
And it's like, and I think in Dubai, I might be wrong, don't at me, but I think in Dubai, you're not allowed to even talk about it. So I wouldn't have no act because not that I'm talking about being gay, but because I can't talk about my boyfriend. You know?
Yeah, yeah. So No. You're absolutely not. Absolutely not.
It's like, oh, God. So, like, if someone engages with me, like, someone asked me recently because they've got an AIDS joke, and I said, and I think someone had pulled them up about it, and I said, well, the thing is, the reason it's not okay is because AIDS was a pandemic. Mm. It killed lots of people, particularly gay men. No one was busy helping them. It was put on the back burner because it was gay men. But also the politicians and the videos are out there. You can still watch them. Made jokes about how it was just killing gay men. And that's how it became a joke. That's how AIDS became a punchline. Yeah. And it's like, if you're not willing to do it with any other illness.
Yeah.
Like, if you wouldn't replace it with, like, cancer, your joke, then it's like, because we've not been taught cancer's a funny word, and that's what the problem is.
But also,
I was like, and also it's, and that's why people are laughing, because it's been taught, but there's also a lack of education, because it's like, it doesn't predominantly kill gay men now, because we're educated on it.
Yeah, more straight people, apparently, in the last few years.
Yeah, and it's just stuff like that, but it's only like, if you ask, I will give you my opinion, but if not...
Yeah.
It's knackering. You'd never not be saying anything. But then people go, people ask you your opinion. You tell them your opinion. It's not the opinion they wanted. Then they go, oh, Stephen's whinging. And it's like, I'm not whinging. Don't ask me. I wouldn't have said anything. Don't ask me. I wouldn't have said out.
I know what you mean. And it's, I get annoyed. I get annoyed when I see people, when they lump, like straight white men all into the same thing. And of course, you know, but then you have to take a moment and go, no, I get it. I get it. I get why that's happening. And then you take a moment and you calm down and you figure it out and you go, no, it's not everybody. But what you're doing is instead of talking about it all the time, your actions speak louder than words.
Yeah.
So what I'm doing shows that, and that's how you make a difference. So, yeah. I get it. Try not to get involved in all the fucking fighting.
Yeah, because I always think with comedy as well, it's like, we are meant just to be having a laugh, guys.
I fucking said this the other week. I was talking to Francis Foster, funnily enough.
Yeah.
And I was saying, surely, as comedians, we should be sort of on the outside of it all, looking in at all of it and kind of finding the funny in all of it.
But yeah, and also I think sometimes the stuff that's more ingrained and people where they're like, oh, I didn't even think about it that way, can often be worse in a way, because it's like the fact that you don't, do you know that, but it's like, I know for a fact I will not be booked, or I feel, maybe is a better way of putting it, I feel like if Tom Allen, Larry Dean, any other gay man comedian is booked on a show, I will not be booked on. I think that's a proper problem, because people in their head just go, it's ingrained in them to go, well, we've got the gay one. Two wouldn't work.
We don't want to confuse people.
Stuff like that is like, to me, is the thing that always goes, why are we not looking at that? Or, you know, I remember watching a show when it was, do you remember that debate going around about should only gay people play gay roles?
Yes.
Well, it's not, you know, it's not my opinion, but what I often saw, or on one particular show, I saw only straight people discussing it, right?
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, you've not got the option for that other argument. Like,
no.
I don't think there's an easy answer to it, because it is like, well, the best person for the job should play the role.
Yeah.
However, sometimes it does feel like, but you're telling me you can't find a gay man that can play a role that's good enough. And it's like, you know, I think there's certain times when it is like, do you know when you're having like your first Disney gay prince character? That's never been done before. I think you could work a bit harder to find a gay guy to play that role, and a famous gay guy. Dan Levy, David from Schitt's Creek, he could do it. Great, solved.
But that's it. That's what it comes down to. It comes down to money, and that's what they're saying is yes. Yeah. What we need is what they want. Really, is someone that's going to sell tickets. So that's why you know, like they say, you could go, oh well, we need a gay person to play this role, but the film's massive. We need someone that's going to cover that cost and make us money.
Yeah.
There might not be someone on that level. And that's where they start having those conversations.
I just think it's not an easy conversation, which is why those debates happen. But then the problem is, when you're having the debate, you've not even brought a gay guy. You brought, I saw a straight guy discuss it, being like, well, I thought gender's supposed to be, or gender's a spectrum, or sexuality's a spectrum. And it's like, you do not know how to use that sentence. You just know that sentence is out there and you're flinging it in now. But I just, because at least for me, I feel like very balanced by that decision, because I think, well, I think gay people should be able to play straight roles.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I do understand, but I also understand the point of going, there are just less roles where, or less mainstream roles. So if a gay person can play a gay person and it's right, and they're the best actor as well. And so say you're sat there between an amazing gay guy, an amazing straight guy, and it's like, there's not much in it. Like, maybe the straight guy's got a few more followers. In that instance, I would argue perhaps you go more to the gay guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I say, it comes down to the money side of it. And
if
that gay person's got more of a following than the other person, which means tickets are going to get sold, then absolutely. What I like is that we're having characters now in things that, yes, the character is gay, but it's not a thing. I remember watching it's a shit film. I think it's called Hollywood Boulevard or something like that. Colin Farrell. Mm-hmm. And Ray Winston plays this horrible gangster, and he's gay in it, but they kind of allude to it. They don't really, it's not really a thing. And then there's been a few characters in things lately where they go, yeah, he's gay, so what? It's not a thing. Do you know, it's not, whereas years ago, it'd be, oh my God, they're having a kiss. You're like, fucking.
Oh, yeah. God. Well, do you remember Brookside?
Brookside was the one.
Yeah. And you go, like, for me, I agree with that as, going, why is our story always just the coming out story?
Yeah.
And then they don't really know what to do with us after that. It's like, but they're getting better at it. Like, there's there was a show with Ben Aldridge where it was called, like, I think it was called The Long Call. He was like a detective in it. It was on ITV just before Christmas. And it was kind of like, he's a gay man. He lived with his husband. But it was about being a detective and the crime that needed to be solved. It wasn't really about that. It normally in that situation, it would be a normal murder mystery and he just goes home to his wife. And the only difference was he went home to his husband.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really great. And it'd be great to get like more of those where, because I always think about, you know, like the soaps. It's like they are another one where it's like they do the storyline that, oh, I'm gay now. And then they don't know what to do with the characters. Yeah. And you go, well, you just do the same storylines that you're giving, like Danny Dyer. So can one of them have an alcohol problem? Can it turn out like this? You know, you just give the same storyline, except instead of Mick talking to Linda about it, it's Ben talking to Callum.
Yeah.
They are getting better, though, I must say, on that. They are getting
things
better.
Things are changing. They are changing. Yeah. It's good. But it is the public's perception of these things. Like, I've had conversations with people and they'll be like, oh, I'm sick and tired of hearing about this. And you go, well, you're going to have to hear about it a little bit more, because now we're in the middle of this change. And for change to happen, it has to be extreme. So you're going to get... It's to some people, they go like, it's going to feel like that. And you go, but imagine, you remember what it used to be like when every major film was all white people, when every major film was all straight people, straight white men being the lead all the time.
And also, I think as well, what we have got bad at, I was talking to a producer about this today, is we don't seem to like to have conversations anymore. Like, I think we've had a very nice conversation. No one's having to go at anyone. No one's saying anyone's thoughts or feelings are wrong. And I think it's like, and everyone's just said, this is sometimes how I feel, and this is sometimes how I feel, and this is sometimes how I feel, and there's no right or wrong answer. And I think people have forgot to have that conversation. Just be like, oh, we can have a chat about something. Like, you know, like when you go out with your friends, you talk about, like, well, this is how my week's been. How's your mum? Mum's all right, yeah. And then there might have been something in the news, and you go, did you see that thing the other day about COVID, whatever, the cost of living, the petrol prices. And then you have a little discussion about it, but no one's falling out over it. You just go,
yeah,
this is my take on it. And I do think we don't get to see that in the public domain and being like, we all talk about this stuff behind closed doors and you don't always agree. Like Brexit, I'm sure some people had conversations with their parents or whoever where their views were opposing.
Yeah.
But you still love whoever you're talking to, and you still it doesn't change anything. You might have given them a bit of thought, they might have given you a bit of thought, but it seems to be that on a public platform, people don't want to have that level of depth. They want it to be as easy as it's this way or it's that way. And it's like, I don't think that's I personally, apart from when people are saying homophobic, racist, sexist things, I actually can see, and when they're very clear, like, I don't think people that go, no, I think straight actors should play gay roles, I don't think they're like, oh my God, you homophobe. I'm like, no, okay, I can see you're coming from an acting point of view where you're saying the best actor should get the job.
Yeah.
Totally get that. Whereas I'm coming from a bit of a going, but statistically, we'll never get a chance if you don't let us. So you go that way. But I think people are too used to be like, it's this way or you're wrong.
Yeah.
And then that's all we see. And then I think that feeds into the people that get their backs up in the other way, who don't want to be educated, who don't want to be moved forward, who go, this is how I see it.
Yeah.
Like, because people aren't willing to have a conversation. And if you look at every story in your life, like, you know, every friendship you made, every friendship you lost, every breakup, every time you got someone, there's about six sides to every story anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So why is it not the same for the rest of...
And I find that as well, and I might have said this on here before, a lot of people want to be the one that found the thing to be outraged at. So they're looking for it, and they're making... Like, I've had conversations with people And they've kind of, I guess, you know, that's how you, that, I guess that you would say that or you would think that. I'm like, no, I'm talking about it with you. And they're like, I know what you're doing. You're trying to find a thing. And then you can go and tweet about it. And go, I was talking to this guy and he said this. And you're like, yeah, I did say that. But you're taking away why I was saying it. We were having a conversation about a bigger thing. And I was like, look, and some people see it this way and some people see it that way. And you're going, yeah, but you can't say that. I'm like, no, but I'm talking about how people see things.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I think I get what you're saying, actually. I think, if I'm right, you're saying people don't want to be put in boxes because we've all got depth and layers and nuance, yet people can't wait to put each other and themselves in a box.
Yeah.
Like when people are like, you know, I'm the vegan comedian, I'm the political comedian, I'm the right-wing comedian, I'm this, that. And it's like, well, you're more than all those things, you want to make that your brand.
You're looking for a selling point and you're like, USP, and you're just, when, like you said earlier, it's like, can't we just be funny? Can that be a thing? We're jesters at the end of the day. We're supposed to be bringing making light of everything, making people feel better about all the shit things that are around them. And I've said this to people before. If you talk, if you're not racist and you're not homophobic and you're not sexist and you're not all these things, your material won't be that. So
yes, that's what I think all the time. I think that all the time is being like, I don't have bad opinions in life. Like, I don't have racist thoughts or sexist thoughts or whatever. So, that doesn't come out to me on stage. And then I'm just funny. And then people laugh. And I always say, actually, being a working class, northern, camp, feminine, gay man, I'm automatically a walking, talking political statement. Yeah. So now I can just talk about when I worked at Sainsbury's.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Whatever it is you want to cut to, you want to get through to people, will come out in your material. It will come out in the stories you're telling. People will work out who you are by what you're saying, by what you're talking about. You don't have to make a specific point and go, I want to talk about gay rights. I want to talk about this. Like, if you do material about things, about people, people are going to work out whose side you're on, what you believe, you know?
I think it's a cleverer way of doing it as well, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's because, you know, we've got the news. Like I used to say during the pandemic, my goodness, and I love all these shows, but by the time you've watched the news, Good Morning Britain, Lorraine, This Morning, Loose Women, you've had it bashed over your head.
Yeah.
The topics like, you know, vaccination. Okay, got it. Where it's like, if I just went up and made a joke about when I went to get my vaccine, all of a sudden you go, oh, he's someone that's got the vaccine. Yeah. He thinks the vaccine's the right thing to do. And you don't have to go, you don't have to go, I think everyone should be vaccinated. Da, 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 da. Like, I have a bit where I actually say, going, you know, about the vaccine, where I go, I don't judge what anyone's done, your body, your choice. And I couldn't understand why you've not had it, because we've been lied to so much. I couldn't understand why you're dubious. But, and then I go into my whole bit.
Yeah.
But it's like, this bit, just be funny. Like anything I say, if people go away, be like, he was really funny, he was great, I'd like to have a pint with him.
Yeah.
Don't matter what I've said, I've been really good for gay rights.
Yeah, exactly. I've got this whole bit about gender-neutral toilets that I do now. And the whole, like, it's about my mate not being like, the pub we drink in has been refurbished and my mate wasn't happy about the toilets being changed. And then he said this mad stuff. And you're going, right, and the whole back and forth is me pointing out, like, mate, because he says this thing, and then I point out that he's wrong, and then we have a lot, and then we end up in the toilet and we do a thing. Out of that material, you're going to work out that I understand trans rights, I understand the gender neutral toilet argument, I'm on the side of people's rights, people, gender neutral toilets shouldn't be a thing, shouldn't be an issue, we shouldn't be worrying about it. And then I've got the end line as well is that I understand as well that a lot of straight white men are causing issues when it comes to sexual assault and things like that. And so, and it's all wrapped up in this material. But at no point do I go, I believe all trans, I'm a firm believer in trans rights and gay rights and this and that. It's all in the material.
Yeah.
It's all in the story that I tell.
Yeah, I do a bit as well where I go like, basically I call straight white men stupid, and then I say, because they get really worried if a gay man fancies them. But let me tell you, when you should worry is when a gay man doesn't fancy you, because we will fucking take anything. So if even we don't want you, it means you're a fucking munter. And that's the joke, and it's a very funny joke.
It's a joke.
But it's also getting the point of being like, I've not come on this stage to fucking want to try and get off with all the straight men. I've come on this stage to get, so chill your bean and enjoy the show. But I've found a funny way of saying it.
Yeah.
Like, you can relax, you're safe, I don't want to suck your dick. You've got gaps in your teeth. Now laugh at me jokes. Like, I've just found a way of saying it that's funny without having to go, oh, a lot of straight white men feel very uncomfortable when I'm on a stage because of this. Like, it just goes, and so I have to help them settle in to the show and feel... I just go out and I'm funny, and then I throw that bit in at some point. Then everyone laughs, everyone feels relaxed, and it just makes a point.
Yeah,
without being boring.
And that's how it should be. Fuck, Stephen, this has been amazing. Thank
you're
you so
amazing.
Much. You're amazing.
No, you're amazing.
I'm so glad we did this, Stephen.
Me too. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure, mate. My pleasure. Where can we find you on the socials?
I'm at Stephen Comedy on everything.
Excellent. Excellent, Stephen.
I only really bother with Instagram. Everything else is so annoying.
It is, to be honest, yeah.
I like, and you got some sort of podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, yeah.
What's your podcast, Stephen?
So, Rich, I've got a podcast as well with TV's Zoe Lyons.
Oh, very
nice. And it's called Let's Talk About the Husband. And basically, me and Zoe became really close over lockdown because we kept ringing each other on our walks.
Oh, amazing.
And I was always talking about, like, I'd be like, oh, Lisa's done this, da 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 da. Kyle and Lisa have had a massive fallout. She thought they were my real friends, but it's from the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And she thought I was mad. And then I just sent her some clips, and I've got her into the Kardashians, and she's highbrow. So it's about what we can learn from reality TV. It's great. The best bit is Zoe not understanding what's going on.
I love Zoe. We decided when she came on the my answer Insane in the Fembrain, we would say, like, look, if we don't find anybody else, why don't the two of us just get married and go and live together and go trainer shopping every day?
I love that for you.
Yeah, I love Zoe very much.
Me too. She's funny.
She is. And so are you, mate. So are you. Oh,
thank you.
So this will go out tonight. But thank you very much, Stephen. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having us. So nice.
Insane in the membrane.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.